Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Neil, for the very comical introduction. He still called me Auntie Sophie, you know, and I thought at the stage people will call me, you know, something else, but, you know, still Auntie Sophie, you know, yeah. Anyway, we've been in this church, me and my husband. My husband is Poa, you know, if you see him, you see me, okay? Or you see me, you see him, all right? Yeah. We actually grew up in this church, okay? When I say grew up means many years, right? Okay, like maybe 3 decades that we have been in this church. This morning when I was talking to 3-1 there, she asked, how long have you been in this church? I said, very long. Yeah, so that is how long. All right, okay. Anyway, this morning I want to share with you about freedom. Freedom from bondages, all right? Okay, when you talk about bondages, okay, so when you talk about husband and wife, right? Okay. How many of you feel that sometimes you have this bondage with your spouse? Anyone or not? Okay, maybe just me, huh? Okay, so it's like, you know, the nagging, you know, the reminder, you know, the having to repeat again and again, you know, and it's like a bondage. And then you think, you know, yo, just when only would he be more singmok, you know, when, you know, he will just, you know, be able to know what I'm thinking, you know, even before I say. Have you experienced that before or not? Okay, that one is not called bondage, okay? That one is called bond, okay? So, yeah, so husband and wife, okay? God has put the two of you together, so there is a bond, right? Yeah, and then for moms and all, you got to take care of children, and then the children are annoying, you know? Everybody is annoying. Then that you think is bondage. Okay, that's not, okay? That is love. Okay, so I want to get some perspective right here. That when I talk about bondage, you know, it is something that's far more than, you know, what you experience as husband and wife or as family. Anyway, okay, let's just close our eyes and we just commit this time to God. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, God, that you are here, God. Every time when we share about your word and every time we worship, God, you are here in our midst and your presence is here, Lord. And we thank you, God, to know, Lord, that you're always speaking to us. You're always, oh God, wanting to have our attention, oh God, Lord, to know, God, that you are the center of our life. And our life, Lord, indeed, oh God, matters. Because, God, you are with us, Lord. So, Father, we ask, God, Lord, that your presence be here. You speak to us, God. Lord, let your word, oh God, Lord, go forth with such, oh God, Lord, authority, God, that, Lord, that we will know and we know, God, that you are real. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. So, this morning, I just want to share with you something that is very close to my heart. We oftentimes, you know, we think that, you know, we pray. Okay, so Pastor Neil does now say that, you know, we do a lot of praying. I mean, we pray for people, okay? Not that we do a lot of praying, we pray for people. And a lot of time, people that come, they have got different situations in their life. Not easy situations, sometimes very difficult, sometimes no answers at all. Sometimes pray, still, you know, things remain unchanged. Because a lot of time, whatever that we see, whatever that we hear in the physical, you know, we think that that is real. But actually, what that is unseen is far more real, far more powerful than what you see, all right? So today I want to just bring to you this area about how our life in God sometimes can be so, you know, affected by what is around us, okay? So first of all, I just want to share with you from the book of Exodus, yeah? So from Exodus chapter 2, there is this verse that says, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Okay, so a little bit of background about this passage here is that the children of Israel were in Egypt. Okay, why did they landed in Egypt? There is because Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt, and because of Joseph in Egypt, they saved the Egyptian from famine because he went. God revealed to him; he had vision, and God prepared the nation of Egypt for the famine. And so the children of Israel that were in the wilderness then were already, they were in Canaan, and they were having famine. So they went to Egypt to buy food, all right? And when they went there, there was a big revelation that Joseph, their brother, was the prime minister. And that's how they landed in Egypt, in the place called Gershon. So over time then, okay, that's just the background. So they were doing very well in Egypt until all the Egyptian king that know Joseph and the family of Joseph passed on. And the population of the Israel were growing so fast, you know, it were multiplying so fast that the Egyptians felt they were a threat to them, that they will overtake, they will overcome, they will take over their nation. And so this is what has happened now, that it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, okay? Then the children of Israel groaned because of bondage, and they cried out, okay? They were in bondage because the Egyptian, what did they do? The Egyptian king did was, they tortured them, they caused them to be imprisoned in captivity, building, you know, cities and building pyramids, and then causing them to make bricks after bricks, and then having quota, high quota. And so they were in captivity, they were in bondage, they were miserable. And this is what it happened, that they cried out, and their cry came to the Lord because of the bondage. Okay? So God heard. Now, when you are in trouble and you are in difficulty, as you cry out to God, and when you cry, perhaps you got no words to express to God. You just don't know what to say to God. You groan. This is what the children of Israel did. They groaned, but God heard. They're groaning, and God remembered. Okay, when God heard, He not only hear. Sometimes we hear, we forget. Okay, but when God heard, God remembered. His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and God looked, okay, upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. I thought this is a very powerful verse for many of us today, that, you know, there are things that we go through, we sometimes nobody understands. Sometimes we feel so helpless. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. But know this, just as in this scripture here, it says, when you cry out, God heard. God hears you. God heard. God remember. God remember His promises, His covenant to you all. And when God looked, He acknowledged. He acknowledged means He knows. He's doing something. I know. Okay. So sometimes we think that, no, God, you hear. You say you hear. God, you say you look. God, you say you know. But I don't see any answers. But many times we know that God heard and work is in progress. Many years ago when my family, okay, we all have got situation where it's not so easy, okay? There are times when, you know, we go through struggle and then we call out to God, and it happened to my family too, okay? So there was this time when our children were like in primary school, we got two girls, cannot tell you the age because they always tell us that, hey, you don't go preach that time, you share about the family and then everybody know about us, you better don't say, so now age cannot tell, okay? Very sensitive, okay? So our two girls were, you know, were quite young then. We were going through job transition. We were having financial, just block and things were not easy. And our mom was having dialysis and it was just difficult, you know. It was just very difficult. So we came together as a family altar. We pray, and our girl, then I think maybe primary school, maybe 8 or 9 years old, as we were praying and we were crying out to God, she said, okay, 8 years old, 9 years old, I think some of you have heard me share this before. She said, Mommy, water will come out of the rock. Eh? Where she copied this, water come out from the rock. Then I'm like, you know, when you are praying and crying and calling God, and there's something like that where it resonates, you know, what the scripture says, that when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and then they had no water to drink, and God told Moses, go speak to the rock, and water will come out of it. And that was where. And at that moment, did things change? Was there something that, you know, a miracle? No, but it was enough for me to know that God heard. It was enough for me to know that when we cry, God is not silent. God even used a kid. God even used donkey, the Bible say. No, God used this daughter and say, hey, your Sunday school teacher tell you one. Then, you know, I don't know where she got the scripture from or what she know, but that's how God can use just any one of you, enough to let you know that God hears, God knows, God acknowledge, and God is at work. All right? Okay. So I want to just show you the next one here. Okay. Along sikit. Okay. So the next verse here, I just want to show you, you know, what bondage is like. Okay. These children of Israel were whipped. Okay. They were tortured. Okay. They were, you know, they were scolded, you know, and then day and night it was that way for them. And was it easy? No. They were just crying out to God. And so for some of us, that we go through situation where really we felt, you know, so tormented, so difficult, day in, day out. You know, you just feel that, oh, another day, it's going to be another difficult day. Know this, okay? I just want to remind you all to know that when you are in bondage, when you cry out to God, God hears you, God look, God knows, and God acknowledge. Not only that, God does something else, okay? So the next scripture here says, Okay, so this next scripture says, therefore, say, God is saying, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Today, I want to say to you all that God say, I am the Lord. I will bring you from under the burden, from whatever the burden that you may be going through, whatever that is pressing on you, whatever that you struggle from. Notice that God says, even as he says to the children of Israel then, God is saying the same to you, that I will bring you out of under the bondage. I will rescue you. I will redeem you. I will take you and I will be your God. Okay, let this be an encouragement to all of us that God remained the same yesterday and today and the days to come. He is still the same. He is faithful. He is near to you. He is close to you, closer than you would ever imagine, ever know. And he is just so full of love for you, even though there are many times that, you know, time and again, you know, we repeat things which we shouldn't do and displeases him. He still waits for you to return to him. Okay. So I want to just share with you right now about what it means to be in bondage. Okay. So the next one. Okay, wait, before we go there, okay? So this is a reminder, okay? That God hears, God knows, and God delivers. Yeah. If you forget everything I say today, take this with you, that God hears you. God knows. God knows even though you don't know, even though you don't know what you feel, God knows, okay? And God delivers. God answers. God make a way. God show you that that is not the end of the road. The end of the road is when God appears, right? Yeah, so now I want to talk to you about bondage, okay? This is really my message proper, huh? You know, when we talk about this thing, bondage, huh? I say this now, so get it right. So your husband and wife, when you are in conflict, you are nag, that is not bondage. Or maybe sometimes it's bondage, can say, I don't know. Okay, so I want to be very candid with you all, you know, to let you all reflect, even as I share those different things that, you know, maybe, okay, something that you are kind of like, you know, trapped in, maybe, or in captive, okay? There may be, okay. So bondage is a state of enslavement to sin, okay? So when there are things that, you know that you shouldn't be doing, but you repeatedly do, that is a form of enslavement, caught, trapped, okay? Or fear, okay? Panic, out of nowhere, just always feeling frightened, or demonic influence, false belief. Okay, this is a big brush stroke, you know, of what bondage can be. Worldly desires. So it's a condition that prevents people from experiencing the full freedom and abundant life that God desires for us. Because the Bible says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give you abundant life. And that stands truth today, that God comes to give us life and life abundantly. So a lot of time when we think about abundant life, we think, oh, must live lah, big house, you know, we have nice Mercedes-Benz, nice car. I know some of y'all have, many of y'all have Mercedes-Benz, okay? Or we always think that, oh, we must go for holidays, and that is called abundant life. Abundant life really, you know, when you reach age like where I am now, abundant life is just having nice friends around where we can share, we can bond. Abundant life is just having that peace, you know, able to sleep well into the night, having a good night's sleep by the morning, fully refreshed. Abundant life is having to be able to connect with different people and just be able to just share life. That is really abundant life. Abundant life is just having, you know, that relationship with God, that, you know, we can go to God at any point in time of life, whether we are rejoicing or whether we are saddened, I think, but we are able to just go connect with God and sit at His feet and cry if we need to cry, laugh if we need to. That is abundant life. Okay, don't miss the point that what abundant life is. But then the thing is this, okay, you know, we all know that a lot of time, we are in chain, okay? So maybe we don't realize that we are in chain or we are in bondage. Maybe you think that, you know, yeah, life is like that now, yeah, what to do, okay? Yeah, forever, you know, I'm like that. You know, we always, okay, come to this kind of perception in our mind that, yeah, it's just like that. But I want to tell you today that you don't need to be like that, okay? This I cannot compare with Pastor Eugene. So profound, you know. I'm so scared, you know, when I come here like that. After I talk, like, pasar malam like that, then. Yeah, I got you all wake up now. All right. So, you know, so we are held in chain. And do you know that, you know, every time when somebody say the sinner's prayer and, you know, they acknowledge that Jesus is their Lord and their Savior and they repent, do you know that, you know, there is a spiritual realm that happens, okay? The fact that when you say the sinner's prayer is actually an act of faith. You don't see anything. You don't see Jesus. Is Jesus in front of you that say, come, accept me? No, you don't see. So it is an act of faith that you receive him by faith. And that is really a spiritual realm. Agree with me or not? Yeah. You know that after you accept Christ, you invite Christ, there are sometimes emotional when you repent and you feel so sorry, you are emotional. But there are a lot of times that you don't feel anything at all. Agree with me? You agree or don't agree or so, never mind. Okay. So, but the thing is this, okay? You don't feel, but do you know that your character, your attitude, your bad attitude, you know, your bad habit, don't go off. It don't just disappear because you accept Christ. Correct, Pastor Eugene? You don't, okay? You still have baggages, you still have struggles, you know? You still have that, okay? Because when we accept Christ, we receive eternal life, okay? We are free from death. God gave us this life in him, which is eternal life, right? But the character-wise, the different things that, you know, somehow, or rather, we have experienced when we were growing up, you know, our life really is molded by what we experience. What you have experienced, what you have gone through, mold you. If your parents is always telling you that you're not good enough, you know, you are just hopeless, you know, you are good for nothing, that will be ingrained in your mind. I'm hopeless. I cannot. I'm not good enough. It will. It influences you. If you have been bullied over and over again, you will shrink back. You will feel frightened. The next time I ask you, go, no. Why? Because the last time you went, somebody pushed you, somebody kicked you. It affects you. It bothers you. You go to temple, you pray, okay, you dedicate your life. You dedicate your life, you know, to the deities and all, and you ask the deities, come. You know, I want to be dedicated to you as a child. You are inviting. You are inviting the work of darkness into your life. It's not a play thing, huh? You know, it is very real. So today I told God, you know, when I was praying, God, I just want to share with, you know, the people that, God, you are real. God, you are not just a God of the Old Testament that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, you know, crossed the Red Sea into the Promised Land. But God, you are real today, as real as you were then. You are real today. And I can tell you, I'm going to share you many testimonies about how God has been real with people that some of you are sitting here today. God has been so real. And you can testify to say that, yeah, my life has been touched by God. And so when I talk about this thing that, you know, we are having sinful habits and attitude and maybe even thoughts of corrupt ways or immorality in our life, yeah, those are things which the enemy has kind of just locked you in, put you in captivity, make you feel that unless I do it, unless I smoke, unless I drink, unless I go gamble, I feel satisfied. I feel free. No, it's really the opposite. You are in captivity. As you continue, you know, to let the enemy rule your life, you are in captivity. But the good news is that Jesus said, I've come to set you free, and you are free indeed. That's the promise of what God said. So I want to just share with you this testimony where last week someone shared with me. There's this young man, okay, foreign worker that came to Malaysia, Myanmarese, okay, from the community of Chin, you know, in the hills. He came like 6 years ago, and he was working in one of the famous restaurants, you know, in town. So when he was working in the restaurant, Okay, so you know, he was one of those to wash, okay, do clean the dishes, clean the toilet, clean the kitchen, you know, clean all the utensils. So he was one of those, or rather he was employed to do that in the restaurant. So then somehow, okay, the community, the Myanmarese community, they have got quite a strong Christian movement in this country. So he was invited to attend one of the services. So he went. So somehow, okay, you know, he felt very moved, and in his all his misery, he has got nothing to lose. Okay, so they say accept Christ. You know, Christ will give you life, eternal life. So nothing to lose, ma. Okay, I'm so miserable. I work in the kitchen every day. You know, I scolded, kicked my people. You know, the boss every time scold me, say this is not clean. Can you do this again? You know, where are you, you stupid fellow, and things like that. Okay, so he accepted Christ. So after he accepted Christ, they tell him, you must read the Bible, you must pray, and he did that, okay? He did just what, you know, like what we have, lah. LG, you know, you got your LG leader, your LG leader tell you, must pray, okay, you must pray, you must have devotion, you must read the Bible, okay? So he did that, right? But then the thing is, he continued to receive all kinds of reprimand, of scolding, you know, from the superior that works with him. So one day he cried out to God. He said, God, you say, come to you, I have life. I have life, abundant life. This is what kind of abundant life? Miserable life, you know. So he kind of have a very heart-to-heart talk to God. And of course, he poured out to God. He groaned to God. He cried to God. God heard him, okay? And so he just felt God telling him, yes, you accepted me. But your life, no change. You continue to live, you know, with sinful habits. You smoke, you drink, you know, you use vulgarity, you know, you just still the same, no change. So he felt convicted, you know, he felt that, yeah. And he decided, he said, God, I want to be serious with you. And then what happened? So the word of God said, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Okay. So that is the life of slavery. The life of slavery then in Egypt was that kind, bound by the Egyptian taskmasters. But this is still a slavery for him. So he cried out to God. He said, God, I want to be serious with you. He cried, he repented. He stopped all those habits of smoking, of speaking, you know, vulgar words. He stopped doing things which was not right. Really, believe me not, okay? Believe that really his superior suddenly became very nice to him. Suddenly he felt that, wow, there's such a relief from all the, you know, oppression that has been put upon him. He felt that God met up with him. And then when the MCO sat in, he came out of the kitchen because then, you know, restaurant was not doing well, you know. He came out from there, he did photography. And today, he's doing very well. He even managed to have a huge follower in his photography where he put up videos and things like that. And he has been giving to the church. And at one point, the church needed finances so much that he sold all that he had, gave all the money he has in his bank account to the work of the Lord. And he said, I came with nothing. I was in total poverty. What is the difference now that I give to the work of God when God has been good to me? When he gave to the work of God, was he empty? No, God multiplied it back to him. Today he's doing well. You may think that, yeah, this is a story somebody tell one, yeah, don't know whether true or not, okay? You may think that, yeah, just because your message like that, so you need to give some supporting, you know, testimony, okay? Yeah. But no, it's true. It's just really true. I was so encouraged, you know, to see that, you know, how God can just, you know, work in ways that even, you know, for one that work in the kitchen, have to clean, you know, and to, you know what it's like, okay? And God hears his prayer. And God look. God heard, God looked, God acknowledged, and God delivered, okay? So, okay, I still got a lot of stories, but oh yeah, really 12 o'clock already. 真可怜. Okay. Anyway, okay. So the next one is, okay, now we can be imprisoned by the devil's scheme. Okay. You know, okay, the reason why I chose this topic to share with you all today is that, you know, a lot of time when people come for prayer, you know, you really feel very sad that how a lot of time what the enemy does to you or what the enemy is still doing in your life has somehow robbed you of that liberty, you know, of that freedom to live a life which is fully, I mean, free from all this, you know, this bondage, you know, I can only just say, you know, this bondage is so sad, you know, but, you know, and when you know that God in His Word has said that, you know, He has come to set us free. He has come to set us free. And a lot of time we say, we pray, God, I'm still not free. Also, I'm still having, you know, all this mental, you know, torture, you know, about all this, you know, rejection and all this. I still have that. But could it be, you know, there are some areas in your life that, apart from the work of God, need your participation, also need your involvement? Can it be? Okay. So the next one I want to share with you is that how we can be imprisoned by the enemy. You know, there's this story that was shared to us. It says that, this is also a real one, okay. Believe me, it is a real one, okay. So Pastor Eddie, okay, so we attend a healing room ministry. So he gave an illustration that his family are involved a lot in medium one, okay, Lok Tong, the medium, okay. And they even can call the date, you know, and then they tell you that, oh, I'm today here drowning in water, you know, please take me out, you know. So they got things like that, huh? So I want to tell you, okay, the worker of the enemy, the kingdom of darkness is real. It's real, okay, don't play, okay, it is real. So this brother was sharing with us, he says that the family have for generation has been involved in all this medium practice and Lok Tong and things like that, okay, for generation they have been doing that. So he said that his own father, okay, anyway, Eddie has now been doing the work of God, he's a believer. He said his father, they are so into this that, you know, human Chinese are, okay, Chinese are every time talk money one, okay. Every time also how to get rich, lah, how to be prosperous, lah, you know, always like that one, Chinese, okay. You see all the Chinese businessmen also how to build 1 million after another million, you know, and then now not million, they go by billions already, okay. So that's Chinese. So this medium there will always want to get numbers, okay. Ampat ekor, you know, the... And then we want to go and buy, and then, wow, you know, kena lah, lottery. Like. So he says that the father, they have got this practice that every time they got this collaboration with the cemetery. Yeah. And then, I'm thinking whether okay to share. But anyway, he shared to all of us, so I also can share. So that he said that the father has this connection with the cemetery. Yeah, then. Whenever there is somebody that passed away, and especially pregnant mothers, when they passed away, and they go for burial, okay, they go for burial. So the cemetery caretaker and all will contact the father, big time medium, work on. And then they will go to the cemetery, you know, and then they will ask for numbers. And they say, chun chun one, 100%, the number sure come out one. Okay, you know, no free lunch one, right? Okay, today the enemy give you the power to gain wealth, okay, we don't know when the day come for them to take it back. They don't just take back your wealth, they take back your life, okay. So when you talk about being imprisoned by the enemy, by the devil and Satan's scheme, this is what happens. So many of us, even before we become believers too, we go to temples and different temples, and then we go and we dedicate ourselves, you know, and we make vow, you know, with the deities and all, and say that, okay, you know, if you give me this, that, and the other, this is what I'll give to you. You're exchanging your life, okay? You're exchanging your life in exchange for whatever you are asking for. You really, you know, is in big trouble, right? So be aware of that. And so this demonic influence, the Bible say that he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son, He loves us, okay? We are in the kingdom of God. So let's be reminded, okay? Let's know that there are boundaries that you may not want to trespass or cross over, okay? The next one is that, now, this is one thing that when you are entrapped mentally and emotionally, okay, you are entrapped. Okay, so this is one area where I feel that a lot of time we take for granted. When you are entrapped mentally, okay, what comes along with this is this, that, you know, you oftentimes you feel that, you know, I always wonder when people say, yeah, I'm introvert lah, you know, I'm shy, you know, I'm like that lah, I'm born like that, okay. But could it be, okay, a lot of time, can it be that, you know, what we have gone through in the past and our experience in the past, like I said earlier, has molded us, has kind of make you who you are today. And when you have got to recognize that, hey, God has not made us that way, eh? You know, God say that we are children of God. You know, we are sons and daughters. You know, we are children of God. You know, not children that are shrinking back, you know, always withdrawn, you know, in fear. No, lah, God has not made us that way. God made us children full of love, one, okay, because God himself is love. And so past rejection, you know, when you grow up, you know, in a family where sometimes, you know, you have got sibling rivalry, you know, parents love one more than the other. Or you may have got, you know, in school where the teacher, you know, always pick on you and say that, you know, you didn't do homework. You know, all this past experience will carve out, you know, or make you what you are today. But recognize today that, hey, I shouldn't be like that, you know. I shouldn't be always having a mind that, oh, you know, when it comes to promotion, you know, for sure my boss will never consider me. You know, having a mentality that is defeated, you know, a mentality that is maybe some people say like a poverty mentality, you know, always like, I will never have one, not me, you know. I said before one time, you know, every time lucky draw. Wow, they've got all the TVs and all the nice things there, you know. Wow, really, very nice things. Okay. Sometimes, you know, when in the mall, they also have got proton cars, you know, that lucky draw and all. So some of us, or in fact, most of us, every time we look at it, no chance, never for me. No, that kind of mentality that you are not blessed on, that kind of mentality that if blessed, also somebody get blessed, it's not me. But then the Lord say, he made you the head, not the tail, ma. The Lord say that I'm with you. Can we have a switch in our mentality to know that our God is a good God, la? Our God is not a God that gives you the leftover, nobody want, and then you take, la. You know, it's not. Our God is a good God. Okay? Yeah. So, anyway. I want to tell you about this thing here. Okay, so we can be trapped by our, you know, past, maybe wrong decisions that we make, you know. So we're always scared to make decision. Because last time I make decision, wrong decision. Okay, I want to venture into things. Okay, wrong. Okay. Didn't succeed. Okay, so then you have all this fear always pulling you back. Okay, you be in shame. Okay, did something wrong. You know, cannot show my face with you. Okay, nobody must know this. Okay, keep secret. You know, suppress it. Okay, or could it be something that, you know, you get regrets, lots of regrets. You know, making wrong decision. Or okay, you fill in the blanks for yourself. Okay, you drown in fear, having panic attack. Okay, right. I want to tell you something about panic attack. One day we were in Victory Weekend, huh? So there was this sister that came for Victory Weekend. Okay, so me and Sister Bikim, we did Victory Weekend for her. And so when we were praying for her and all, then we were talking about her childhood, okay? Exactly like this, okay? Entrapped mentally and emotionally, okay? So we were sharing with her, we were talking about, you know, how God has set us free from all this emotional turmoil. 12:15 already, okay. I'm just halfway already. Are y'all okay? Okay. And so, okay. Let me be fast, okay? I'll go speak very quickly now, okay? And so we were praying for her, and then we were talking about her younger days and all. And then she said, you know, this is really so sad, you know. It will really, you know, break your heart to hear how children have gone through so much. And she said that her mom was depressed, you know? Her mom was depressed. So the mom, so depressed that one day took her to a very high building and asked her, you jump. You jump and mommy will jump. You jump. Little girl, traumatized, you know, by this. That trauma she carried until she was way into 40s, or maybe, you know, way into that. So all I imagine, from a child, you know, having that traumatic experience, carried that trauma feeling all the way until she is adult, she's married, you know, with children. And when we pray for her, she screamed and she screamed. Yes, how God came, taking out that fear, that panic, through that scream, through that release, you know. And she testified after that, you know, how she felt so set free, you know, for the years that she was in bondage. So we don't, sometimes we take it so lightly and say that, you know, we scold the children, you know, we think, you know. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you don't scold your children, okay, apart, never ask your children to jump, okay, you know. But like we talk about the cane and things like that, okay, a lot of different school of thoughts, you know, that we should spare the rod and things like that. But what I want to tell you that sometimes we can be so trapped, you know, with all this past emotion, you know, this panic at that. Why do sometimes people, out of, you know, just a simple thing, you know, that spring of fear can come out until they shiver and they have the cold sweat, because it is so embedded in their emotion, in their spirit, that give a little trigger, it will just surface and will just come out, you know. So we have this part where God say that, he says that if you abide in my word, truly my disciples, if you know the truth, the truth is God loves you. God will not subject you to oppression or to this kind of fear. God will not. And God says that if you know the truth of who he is, God so full of love, God that is so, he would so embrace you, collect your tears in the bottle. He says the truth will set you free, that you no longer need to dwell on the fact that I'm rejected, I'm useless, I'm full of shame, all this regret, you know, I can never overcome, I cannot let go. The Bible says when you know the truth and when you abide in the word of God, the truth will set you free. Really, okay, I can say all this to y'all, believing and with conviction, because we have seen how God has just set people free, how God has just allowed or come into the lives of the people, and people walk in newness of life, like what it says in Isaiah, the past is behind them, new things spring forth. Right, the next one, okay. Bound by generation, okay, and I will finish soon. Bound by generation and verbal curses, okay. Now, this is something which I don't know, okay. I truly believe that generation DNA can have an impact and influence on people's life. Okay, we got Dr. Joel there. Dr. Joel, I don't know whether to say it right or wrong. Okay. So when you see that, you know, when we pray for people with cancer or when people go to a hospital to be treated for cancer, I think very often the doctor will ask, hey, anybody in the family got cancer? Got a Dr. Joel? Yeah. Why? Because there can be, you know, that generational thing that goes through the bloodline, right? A lot of time when we talk about diabetes too, you know, every time I hear people, hey, who else got diabetes? Oh, father got. Oh, grandfather got. It goes down the bloodline generationally. Okay. But again, monkey see, monkey do. Okay. There are some things which we say that, and hola, no, yeah. But if you've got a family where, you know, there is some kind of violence, father come home, get drunk, whack the children and all, children will catch on, you know, and do the same. Monkey do, monkey see, monkey do, okay, if I can put it very bluntly. So that can be, and then there are curses that has been spoken over our life. Sometimes we hear of people, especially, you know, Chinese family, I think, or maybe, you know, they would just tell you, you know, that you will never matters in life. Yeah, we have prayed for people who, you know, have experienced that. And when we ask them to forgive, okay, forgive that. Can you forgive that? Cannot. Cannot. Why? Because so deep in them, just cannot let go. But if they let go, if they let forgiveness flow, no, it is no, it's not a loss for them when they release and they ask, we ask them to forgive. It's not a loss for them. They have all to gain because they are now free, free from the world. The enemy don't want you to be set free, one. The enemy want you forever to be trapped, you know, in captivity. That's what the enemy. So you forever be miserable. Forever you have no breakthrough. That's what the enemy wants. But God wants to give you freedom. Freedom upon freedom. Yeah, so generationally and the verbal excuse, verbal curses, words, that's what the Bible say. The tongue is powerful. You know? Life and death lies with the tongue. So while we need to be very careful how we speak and what we say, there are a lot of words that's been spoken over us, you know, where has somehow etched into our spirit and have caused us to be so bound, right? Yeah. So the next is, this is what the scripture says in John 10, 9. John 10, okay. It says, I am the door. Okay, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will be set free. He will no longer be in bondage. He will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. You say, when you are free, you can go in and out, okay? But when you are in bondage, you are in and never go out. But the scripture says that you will go in and out and find pastures, okay? So this is the verse where we always want to remind ourselves that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal what? Steal your peace. Steal what? Steal your freedom to do what is right. Kill your spirit, you know. Okay? And destroy you that you will have no life, abundant life. I came, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the next verse, which really a verse that we have been using even for the last series that we have, that the Spirit of the Lord is indeed upon me. Okay? Because he has anointed me, Jesus himself, to proclaim good news. And he says specifically in this verse that he has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Okay? Not literally the prison, but the prison of the mind, the prison of the spirit and the soul. Okay, that he has come to declare freedom to all of us, recovery of sight, spiritual blindness, okay, and setting the oppressed free. So God has this promise given to us that he has come to set the oppressed free, set the captives free, open doors, the prison door. And this is something where we can stand upon it, claim it, and know that it is your portion, okay? So the next slide is this, okay? Now, God's freedom is this, okay? It's like a cage. God's freedom is you are free to come and go, like the verse says. You are free to come and go and into the pastures. But the enemy's freedom is not, you are in a cage. You think you are free? You continue to take, you know, all the drugs and all the addiction that you have, you know, you continue to just enjoy it, but you are imprisoning yourself and you think that is freedom because I am free to do whatever I want to do. Whatever I want to do is to do whatever the enemy tells you to do and you are imprisoning yourself, right? So, I just want to encourage you all to know that there is freedom, freedom in Christ. There is that freedom that, you know, you no longer need to, you know, be living a life short of what God has planned and intended for you to have, which is that abundant life, right? So I just want to encourage you all to even now, as I bring the message to a close, maybe you all will close your eyes and just reflect. So this many areas that I have mentioned just now, whether it is in the bondage of maybe areas where I've sinned against God, maybe areas where, yes, I've accepted Christ, my life has still not made any different from before. You know, is there something that I need to change, let go? Are there areas where I've been held captive? And I'm in chain. Just reflect on that and just tell God, God, I want to be free. Practices or attitude or habits that you want to be set free from. I don't want God to continue to be, you know, held in bondage by this sinful attitude and mindset of thinking that I'm okay, I'm not doing wrong, I'm fine. take a moment to reflect. Or you have been imprisoned by the devil, telling you that it is okay, you can come to temple and, oh, it's okay, your God is a good God, your God is a forgiving God, it is okay. Our God is a jealous God. Things that you have committed in the past, where you have gone to the temple and you make a vow, you know, with the idols to say that, you know, if you enrich me, if you bless me, I will continue to pay allegiance to you. Was there a time that you made that kind of vow? Or maybe there is some mental torture, emotional pain that you have endured for the longest time ever. And is there a time where you feel that I don't want to constantly feeling fearful, always worried, full of anxiety, or full of anger, angry, having thoughts that always make me feel upset? Can it be something that you have been emotionally and mentally in captivity? Can it be? Or maybe something which is beyond you, generational, if talks about sicknesses and all that runs through the family. You can come to God and say, God, I want to break this. Because the word of God say, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. He is the curse. He take every curse. Curse of sicknesses, curse of generation, curse of words that has been, you know, spoken over us. God has taken that curse on the tree. And the curse over your life is broken today. It's broken and has set you free. Yeah. Even as you would tell God yourself, you know, in a manner where you can be personal. You can be very candid with God. You can be very honest with God. God hears. God knows. God delivers. So let me just pray for you all. God, I thank you, God, that God, you are a good God, Lord. God, I thank you, God, Lord, that even though, God, that we may be far from you, but God, you are near to us. That, Lord, when the people of Israel went through so much of torment, captivity, they groaned and you heard them. And God, you are still hearing us, Lord. Still, oh God, Lord, you are working in our lives. Though, God, we may not see or may not feel, but God, you are active. So today I pray right now for my brothers and sisters that in the name of Jesus, I come against every kind of bondage that have held them in captivity over the years. That in the name of Jesus, every bondage, big or small, in the name of Jesus, I declare it broken, I cut it, I break it in the name of Jesus. I declare, God, you are God that has come to set us free. And every work of the enemy that has stolen the peace, the joy, the fullness of life from us, in the name of Jesus, every strategy right now, I come against you and I say, in the name of Jesus, Jesus has completed the work on the cross. And on the cross, God say, it is finished. And every work of the enemy is finished right now in Jesus' name. That in the name of Jesus, God, that you will come, O God, Lord, in such a way, God, ministering to each and every life according to where they are, Lord. And then, Lord, that they will see, God, you are real. Lord, you are real. God, we thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. God, you are faithful. God, you are so, oh God, Lord. God, you are so near to us, God. Lord, you are our fortress, our strength, God, Lord. Such a present help, God, every time when we need you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. And the people of God say, amen.